Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy. There's nothing like gaining a fresh perspective from experts who've seen it all and have the wisdom to prove it. With MasterClass, you can learn from the best to become your best. With plans starting at $10 a month, billed annually, you get unlimited access to over 200 plus classes taught by the world's best business leaders, writers, chefs, and more. With MasterClass, you get thousands of bite-sized lessons across 13 categories that can fit into even the busiest of schedules. And the classes really make a difference. 3 in 4 surveyed members feel inspired every time they watch MasterClass. And 83% of surveyed members have applied something they've learned from MasterClass to their lives. MasterClass always has great offers during the holidays, sometimes up to as much as 50% off. Head over to masterclass.com/audio for the current offer. That's up to 50% off at masterclass.com/audio. Masterclass.com/audio.
Spotlight Connecticut with Morgan Cunningham. Embracing what's fun with Connecticut on WTIC News Talk 1080.
Could I pack more into one program? I don't think I could if I tried. And because of that, it's exciting. So I had to start with some exciting music. The Jacksons, Blame It on the Boogie. Some classic Michael Jackson there. Like I said, we have a jam-packed show, and if you like me on Facebook, at MC News Talk is the username and the page. That's all the information you need to know to find me on Facebook, Twitter, at MC News Talk. You would see that that's exactly what I said last night in promoting the show on social media. I said, this is jam-packed, and I'm excited about it. Went back and forth with a number of people this week, and I was supposed to have only 2 guests. And it was late last night when I added a third, and it will be our last guest. So in this order, John Reed of the Fairfield Theater Company, he's going to talk about a new partnership, a collaboration between not just his organization, but 4 others at the Shoreline spanning Norwalk all the way up to Old Saybrook. And he'll be with us in moments to tell that story. Jessica Murphy joins us in the middle of the hour to talk about the Tokenique Pumpkin Carnival. And I think one reason I'm attracted to this whole idea of the Tokenique Pumpkin Carnival is because I just like to say Tokenique. For those of you who don't know, it's a section of Darien. And the Pumpkin Carnival is something that's done for Darien children every single year. They've been doing this now for over 50 years, which is absolutely amazing. And it's impressive that they've been able to keep this going all that time, except for COVID. Although I believe that they returned in 2021. I'll double-check that with Jessica when she's on the show. But this year, she is the director of the Tokenique Pumpkin Carnival, and she's going to tell us what it's all about. You've got kids decorating pumpkins. They have rides. They have a bake sale. They've got food, drinks, partner businesses that make it all possible. I mean, it is really an amusement park. And what they do is they go to the local Tokenique Elementary School there in Darien, and they turn it into an amusement park on a Saturday, nonetheless. I mean, I don't know how many kids want to be at school Monday through Friday, let alone on a Saturday, but this certainly makes it more appealing. And it reminds me of when I was a child. I think that's another reason why I like the Tokenique Pumpkin Carnival, because when I was a kid, my elementary school did a ton of activities, a ton of events, after school, on weekends. Families were encouraged to come participate. My mom would come and she would volunteer. And I just remember those days. And I can speak for my hometown when I say that they don't do as many events. And I've noticed that a lot of towns, maybe they don't have the budget, maybe they don't have the right number of kids, maybe they don't have the participation, or they don't have a good concept, or people retire, they come and go. There are a lot of different problems. But I've noticed that a lot of communities don't do these kinds of events. And I think for children, it's particularly important to get them out and socialize. And in this case, it's just good, old-fashioned fun. The Tokenique Pumpkin Carnival. So we'll talk with Jessica Murphy about that a little later this hour for just a few minutes to get an idea what it's all about. And then I'm particularly excited, and this, I got to thank you, Michael Tiger. He made this possible late last night. I think he had to rearrange some of his schedule, and for that I am so grateful. He's going to come on for a very special update on the Hartford-Brainerd Airport. You may remember it was about a month ago. I went up for an introductory flight. It was amazing. Amazing. I learned so much. I got to get a tour of Hartford-Brainerd Airport, and that place that was always mysterious to me. What do they do at a general aviation airport? All of that was answered in one talk show. And there's this whole political debate that's been going on the last few years. It goes back even further, but it really heated up the last few years. What to do with the land? Do we shut down the airport or do we build it up? And it's an issue that's involving the city of Hartford and the state of Connecticut because it's a quasi-state agency. And there has been a major update as far as that whole political debacle goes. And so we're going to get an update on where that is with Michael Tiger. So when I said this is a jam-packed talk show, folks, I absolutely meant it. Jam-packed between now and 3. Somehow, we'll get it all in.
This is WTIC in Hartford.
Hi, I'm Eric from Glastonbury, and I'm listening to Spotlight Connecticut with Morgan Cunningham.
I'm Morgan Cunningham. It's WTIC News Talk 1080, Spotlight Connecticut, and guest 1 of 3 is on the line. We have John Reed with us, the executive director of the Fairfield Theater Company. Hi, John. Welcome to the program.
Good afternoon. Thanks for so much for having me.
I'm so glad you were able to join. When I saw this information come out, I believe it was Thursday, so fairly late in the week, I said, we've got to get him on, so thanks for coming on.
Absolutely.
Well, could you give us an idea what's happening here? There's a new arts venue collaboration that's been announced involving your organization, that would be the Fairfield Theater Company, but also the Kate, which is in Old Saybrook, College Street Music Hall, and Westfield Music Bowl in New Haven, both of which are in New Haven. And there's also the Wall Street Theater Company in Norwalk. Now, when I think about all these places, right, I think of some fantastic opportunities to see live performance of varying kinds, whether it's music and other forms of entertainment. But I also think of competition, right? You guys have some very successful brands, and I was surprised to see that you guys are now working together. So what's going on here?
Well, we're really, what we have in common is we are, I'm going to say, small or smaller independent venues, nonprofit organizations that are very community-based. So if you take a Fairfield Theater Company, or FTC as we refer to it, we're on our campus right in downtown Fairfield. We have 3 venues, a small 225 capacity, the warehouse 640 capacity, and then we have an outdoor venue in our parking lot. And we do a ton of community events, and the result of our programming has an extraordinary impact on the community, both financially and also the quality of life as we see the arts are growing. Now, that's also juxtaposed against a backstop of some significantly larger for-profit entities that are, you know, that are bringing great music, don't get me wrong, to some very large venues. But we think the small independent venues bring something special, and we're essentially building a case for support so that we can ensure, I'll say, a sustainable future.
And COVID-19 has definitely had an impact on all this, too.
Absolutely. Yeah, the pandemic, I think, for one thing, we had a period of time where none of us were allowed to have any events. I think the people in Connecticut realized what a rich variety of music and theater and comedy and film that we were bringing, and how empty, yeah, people tell me it seems so empty without that exposure. So we're, you know, we really are, all of us have our missions are in some way or another about bringing the best of the arts to the communities that we're living in.
John, how are you guys going to maybe pool resources and share amongst yourselves to promote this new collaboration between the 5 facilities?
Well, it started, during COVID. All of us talked at different times. We shared some of the things we were going through. as independent venues. And so that really began the collaboration, which is a conversation. Most of us are so busy, I'm going to say night and day, you see the number of shows we do, you know, to take the time and begin to really explore how we can support one another. So I think the collaboration, the support is really, as we all go about educating our communities, I know at FTC we have great support from our elected officials on both sides of the aisle, but we want to educate the community and community leaders and help, you know, we're great at promoting shows, but maybe not bragging about ourselves so much. But I think we really have to kind of amp that up a bit and show some of the research that shows the, is when I talk about the economic impact we see in Fairfield County, for example. If someone attends a venue in one of our, a show in one of our venues, they spend about $35 more or less in the surrounding businesses. So in a good year, we have 50,000, 70,000 people coming through the doors. You can see that that's a couple of million dollars in direct financial benefit to the just the bars and restaurants that are, we'll say, within an easy walking distance of us.
That's absolutely amazing. And I'm looking at this study. I see $16 million for College Street Music Hall. Amazing.
Absolutely. And by the way, that study of the arts and economic prosperity that's quoted was released in 2017. It's being updated next week, so look for that. You'll probably see it in the news, because I'm expecting that amount's going to go up higher given inflation, and just not only natural inflation, but these last couple of years' inflation.
John Reed is my guest for this part of Spotlight Connecticut, Executive Director of the Fairfield Theater Company. What does this mean for shows, the entertainment that you guys are putting on?
Well, you know, one of the things, as we're looking at the extraordinary competition, we have a kind of a dual citizenship. One is to make sure that the artists that we're, at FTC, we do 200-plus live concerts a year, for example. We want to make sure the artists are receiving the absolute best care and treatment, that they're getting, you know, that they're being compensated fairly financially. So part of it is, again, as people begin to realize that these small community-based organizations can be at a competitive disadvantage, again, when you think about the extremely large promoters. And the there's a venue being planned right now in Bridgeport that's going to be a 3,000 capacity room indoor, right next door to a new amphitheater, which is about 6,000 capacity. So, So these are some large and daunting challenges for all of us as we continue to make sure that we can bring, as I say, the best in the arts and entertainment to our respective communities.
With this collaboration that you guys are starting to forge together, and for people who are just joining us, I'm talking about five venues, all of them at the Shoreline. You've got the Kate in Old Saybrook, which is a fantastic historic location, which is on the National Register of Historic Places, by the way. College Street Music Hall and Westville Music Bowl, both in New Haven. Fairfield Theater Company, which is run by my guest John Reed here, and also the Wall Street Theater in Norwalk. Do you see any possible maybe sharing of performers? So in other words, if somebody's playing at the Fairfield Theater Company, maybe they'll do a show at the Kate that same weekend?
That happens more naturally as part of the normal booking process, because most of the artists that we have are national touring artists that are coming through this area. In the tour logistics, it's quite often there'll be an artist, perhaps it's at Wall Street Theater, that the next time through they'll come to FTC, you know, as another venue they play, and the next time through they may go to College Street, they may go to the Kate. But I think the collaboration for us at this point is really at a policy level, and I'm going to say an educational level, more than an operational level. I'd say that all of our venues are very experienced in terms of operating, producing shows, and doing that. So now it's as we enter the policy discussion. And one strange thing about my background is I have a master's in public administration with a focus on public policy, and I've worked in the nonprofit world for many years, and really the effective public-private partnerships can have a huge impact, not only our organizations, but also on the on our elected officials. And so, what I mean by that, now FTC, for example, operates out of a town on property, and that really is a public-private partnership. And so as the and we enjoy a great relationship, because as we go in terms of if we're able to fill the house, bring people in, continue the extraordinary lineup and the, you know, the pace of operation, then that's only brings benefit to our towns.
What can a small venue offer that a large venue can't? Because I'm somebody that tries when I can to get to a smaller venue, and one in particular that I go to, they let you bring in your own beverage, your own food. And in other words, you're not restricted to what maybe the big amphitheater or arena would have to offer and sell, maybe a little more homey in that sense. But what is it that smaller venues intimacy. Can do that bigger places it's, can't?
It's intimacy. I mean, it really is true, you know, from the old sitcom Cheers. When people walk through the doors in our venues, we know them. They know us. Even though we have tens of thousands of people come through the course of a year. So that ability to see your favorite artist maybe literally 10 feet away as compared to, you know, in the nosebleed seats of a larger venue. So I think that's the biggest thing. The artist also, my observation is that when they feel that sense of intimacy and they feel that, you know, they know that the fans are really there for them, it doesn't become just another night on the tour. Something special happens. And we see that happen in the performances where you'll see an artist, granted, who does a fantastic job in a huge venue, but there's something a little more special about that happening. Whether it's a 200-seat room, a 600-seat room, a 1,000-seat room, there's still a huge level of intimacy.
And some of your performers, I would imagine, must go and meet maybe some fans after the show?
Absolutely. Absolutely. I've seen, you know, one of my stories, the great John Mayall, Bluesbreakers fame. He's played in our venue a number of times over the last decade or so, and I remember the first time he was playing. And I walked by a merch table, and I looked over, and I thought, that can't be. And it was John Mayall standing by the merch table before the show, not so much selling merch, but to greet the fans and say hello to everyone. And having had an extraordinary respect for him as a musician for so many years, I thought, this is just, you would never, ever get that, you know, at Madison Square Garden.
No, not at all. John Reed, executive director of the Fairfield Theater Company, on with me, Morgan Cunningham, on Spotlight Connecticut. John, what about local talent? Do you guys have more local talent at these venues than, you know, what you would see at a major commercial facility?
We do. We do. In fact, we have, FTC has a summer series where we have shows that are free to the public, and we actually hire local artists, hire and feature. In other words, we don't ask the artists to pay for free. We pay them, you know, like we would any other professional artist. But we can feature local artists, and that gives them a chance to really meet the community. And it helps build, you know, it helps them. It can be a stepping stone toward, you know, getting booked in one of the venues then, or headlining, maybe an opening act. So we're definitely part of that. I will say there's an exceptional amount, exceptional number of very talented musicians in and around Connecticut. I mean, you can imagine with proximity to New York, Boston, et cetera. But there are so many just tremendous players, and not all of them have devoted their lives as a national touring musician, but just tremendous musicians all around here.
I know people who have traveled to go to all of these venues, and I'm not talking about 25, 30 minutes. I'm talking an hour or 2 hours at times to see certain acts that you guys book that other places can't book. So my question to you is, now that you guys are kind of collaborating together, are there any acts that you're really trying to get in as a group?
Not as a group, but, you know, that could happen. I mean, we'll see where this goes. We approach this from how can we teach our community the value of what we bring and help our community help us to have a sustainable formula that, regardless of increasing competition, economic ups and downs, that the arts and culture are preserved. I think Connecticut is uniquely situated. It's almost like we're on the cusp of a renaissance of the arts. If you think about all the venues that are coming, that couldn't happen if there weren't that many people that are going out to hear live music or to see a concert or go to a play. So I really have this sense that you see this, you know, over time, where the arts are sort of an outbreak of the arts in an area, and I feel like Connecticut is poised for that kind of outbreak. And part of that, you know, part of our responsibility as venue operators and nonprofit executives is to make sure that we're doing everything we can to teach our community of the value of what we bring, and to be in touch with the community, make sure that we are bring in exactly the entertainment and the music and the arts that they want, that they like. And I think all of my colleagues in the other venues that we're talking about share these type of values. We think Connecticut is a phenomenal place to be. We think that what we can do to help support and grow the communities is all to the good, and we think that the preservation of the arts is absolutely imperative if Connecticut is going to be a place where people not only want to drive through to get to someplace else, but people want to come and stay and live and raise their kids and raise their families. So I know that's a big, lofty objective, but I think if you put it all together, that's the end goal, is improving the quality of life in our communities and doing all that we can to ensure that that's sustainable.
Exactly, John, and you guys are working toward that. We're down to about the last minute or so. John, where can people learn more about what you guys do, or maybe just, in your case, the Fairfield Theater Company?
Well, certainly all of us are available to, for conversation. One thing I love is people have no problem. Go on our website, you'll find out our email address stuff, but reach out. More to come. As I say, we're just kicking this off and getting out, but more to come. I think there'll be some great opportunities for some of the communities and individuals to get behind us in this message and this goal of creating that kind of sustainable support.
All right, John, thank you so much for coming on Spotlight Connecticut. We really appreciate it, and good luck there at the Shoreline. The Kate College Street Music Hall and Westfield Music Bowl in New Haven, Fairfield Theater Company, and Wall Street Theater. And when I think about the Kate, as we go into the break, I think about Janice Ian, who did a show there every single year. I have friends that went, and sadly, I missed it. And unfortunately, she's suffering from vocal scarring and has retired. She'll take us into the break on WTIC.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. One of the perks about having four kids that you know about is actually getting a direct line to the big man up north. Mm-hmm. And this year, he wants you to know the best gift that you can give someone is the gift of Mint Mobile's unlimited wireless for $15 a month. Now, you don't even need to wrap it. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3-month plan equivalent to $15 per month required. New customer offer for first 3 months only. Speed slow after 35 gigabytes if network's busy. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
DSW's semi-annual sale is back. Take 50% off all clearance shoes in stores for a limited time. Literally every single clearance item at your designer shoe warehouse store is on sale right now. Sneakers, boots, dress shoes, if they're on the clearance racks, they're 50% off. So what are you waiting for? Don't sleep on these savings. Get to DSW ASAP. It's all or nothing, people. Shop the DSW semi-annual sale today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations. There's nothing like gaining a fresh perspective from experts who've seen it all and have the wisdom to prove it. With MasterClass, you can learn from the best to become your best. With plans starting at $10 a month, billed annually, you get unlimited access to over 200 plus classes taught by the world's best business leaders, writers, chefs, and more. With MasterClass, you get thousands of bite-sized lessons across 13 categories that can fit into even the busiest of schedules. And the classes really make a difference. 3 in 4 surveyed members feel inspired every time they watch MasterClass. And 83% of surveyed members have applied something they've learned from MasterClass to their lives. MasterClass always has great offers during the holidays, sometimes up to as much as 50% off. Head over to masterclass.com/audio for the current offer. That's up to 50% off at masterclass.com/audio. Masterclass.com/audio.
Spotlight Connecticut with Morgan Cunningham.
And we're back with information about the Tokenique Pumpkin Carnival. And like I said at the beginning of the hour, I think that I like the Pumpkin Carnival down in Darien because I simply like the word Tokenique. And our guest is Jessica Murphy. She's one of three co-chairs this year for the annual event. Hi, Jessica. Good afternoon. Welcome to the show.
Hi, Morgan. Thanks for having us, for me.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you for coming on. You know, this has been going on now for years down in Darien, over 50 years, I believe, right?
Yes, that's correct. I think we're on year 58, continuously running with the exception of 2020 when we had a break for COVID, but we have been going strong for 50 plus years. And I was actually speaking to a teacher at the school yesterday who's been here for over 20 years. And she said, back in the day, it started as a very simple affair. They only had a Ferris wheel and a dunk tank and a few other little games. And it's really morphed from there.
You know, for something to last nearly 60 years, Jessica, there has to be a great concept behind it, right? Or else it wouldn't have made it, not even after just 1 or 2 years. So what is the Tokenique Pumpkin Carnival?
You know, I think the concept is just bringing our community together. And what we really do is excite the kids around this unity and community aspect. And obviously, we layer in lots of fun rides and activities, but our whole school community just really gets into it. And then we also draw through lots of publicity around town, people from all over the community outside of Tokenique, be it Darien, Stanford, Norwalk, neighboring towns, Rowayton. But it's really just this one, I think, kickoff to fall that people get very excited about. And usually, knock on wood, we have great weather. The carnival is rain or shine, so people will be there. And it's just bringing everyone together. So, I don't know, there's something very special about it.
No more rain, that's for sure. And there's pumpkin decorating and there's rides. You know, you're basically turning the Tokenique Elementary School into an amusement park, which is incredible. Yes. You can't hardly get kids to go to school during the week, and you're getting them on a Saturday.
Well, you should see it. The rides, the carnival rides roll in on either Tuesday or Wednesday of this week, and they take over the entire parking lot, and the kids watch as these rides get put together over the next few days, and the excitement just builds. We have roughly 15 carnival-style rides that come in through an outside company. Some of the favorites are Rockstar and Zero Gravity that the kids remember year over year. And then the parent community sets up on the fields probably 20 or so other games that we've created over the years. Many are consistent. We pop some new ones in every year that the kids can earn tickets, and then they can go to the prize table and redeem their tickets. So what kid doesn't like that?
You guys have a lot of volunteers. You also have business partners that support the Pumpkin Carnival year after year. How do you guys get all of that support from the volunteers and the sponsors every year?
I'm going to tell you, it sure takes a village, and we're still a week out working on it. But we have over 350 parent volunteers, and we work with some of the organizations within the community to try and get middle schoolers and high schoolers who might need community service hours to come and work some of our volunteer shifts. Grandparents come and help. So we really pull from everywhere, but we do need, you know, upwards of 350 people to make this event happen. And then to your point, we have lots of community sponsors. The Darien Sports Shop has been an amazing marquee sponsor for us for many years. We have some parents in Ready Builders and NOLA Physical Therapy who have supported us. And then, you know, local businesses like BMW of Darien and Dean Kitchen's Orthodontic Boutique. So, you know, organizations that families know, and they really step up to help us out, you know, throughout the carnival.
As a mom in the community, do you have any special memories of this, maybe taking your own kids?
Well, I will tell you, this is only my third Pumpkin Carnival. We moved out to Darien in 2020. So we jumped in full force, and our first one was 2021. And I think for me, really seeing all four of my kids, be it my oldest is 14 all the way down to a four-year-old, finding something to have fun, some way to have fun there, to me that's truly special. And I love seeing my older kids volunteer and help out behind the tables. And our whole family really just joins into the effort. So I think that's the most special part of it for me.
Well, Jessica, it's been great having you on the program. I think what you guys are doing is so special because there are so many communities, including my hometown. I'm not from Darien, but my hometown, you know, it doesn't do a lot of events anymore. And when I think back to my childhood, it's the events that I remember. They used to do a lot of them. I know a lot of communities have cut back on doing them, and yet you guys keep this up. I have a friend from Darien. She remembers these events still, and she's all grown up now. And so I think that it's something important you guys are doing for the children down there.
Well, thank you, and we really appreciate you helping spread the word and spotlighting us, and we welcome anyone down, rain or shine. We're looking forward to a great event next Saturday.
All right, and I hope it doesn't rain. No rain.
Yes, please, no rain.
None at all. That's Jessica Murphy, everybody, one of the co-chairs of the annual Tokenique Pumpkin Carnival. Can you believe it? It has been going on now for nearly 60 years. That's amazing. I'm Morgan Cunningham. It's WTIC. We'll be back.
Spotlight Connecticut with Morgan Cunningham.
This is WTIC in Hartford.
Hi, this is Kevin from Bristol, and you're listening to Spotlight Connecticut with Morgan Cunningham.
I told you it's a jam-packed show this week, and we're rolling on with the last topic, and I think it's my favorite of the three today, although I like every topic I have on, you know that. Think back to September 9th. That was the talk show that we did all about my experience going to Hartford-Brainerd Airport. I had an introductory flight. I had a full tour of everything there at the airport. And we looked at it because, you know, I think that it was just this general confusion among the public and among reporters, myself being one of them. Nobody knew what was going on at a general aviation airport. And so I took everybody in the audience who was there on September 9th and on our podcast as well at WTIC.com. I took everybody on a tour of the facility. We explored it. But in the background is a political debate over what to do with the land. It's a quasi-state agency. Shut down the airport or build up a development is the big question, and it's been a debate now for years. Michael Tiger, president of the Hartford-Brainerd Airport Association, is with us. And Michael, just getting right into it, there's a draft study about the future of the airport that has come out. What does it say? Welcome to the show.
Well, thanks, Morgan, and thanks for having me on. I appreciate the opportunity to talk about the airport. The study was set up by the Connecticut State Legislature to determine what's the best and highest use for this piece of property, 201 acres in the South Meadow area. Brainerd Airport has been around for 101 years, and the determination was to see what to do with the property. And three conclusions were considered. Either keep the airport open as is, close the airport entirely and repurpose the land for something else, or third, keep the airport open but close one of the two runways that exist on the airport. There's a large main airport, we call that 2/20, and there's a smaller runway, a large runway, 2/20, and a smaller runway, 11/29. And the smaller one is not used quite as much. And the study concluded, at least what we've heard so far, to keep the airport open but close that runway.
Is this a win for the airport?
Well, that's a complex question. We don't know all the details of the study that's come out. It's going to be released in its entirety by the end of the month after the Department of Economic and Community Development reviews it. They're the ones who initiated the study. And we'd like to know all the details. But keeping the airport open, number one, is a good thing for general aviation. We can discuss that at any time. But closing the smaller runway, to me, doesn't make a lot of sense for a number of reasons, and we can talk about that if you'd like.
Yeah, could you get into that? What could be done with this land if you just shut down one of these two perpendicular runways?
Well, since the consideration to close the airport was raised almost 2 years ago, there have been a huge number of considerations of what could we do with the airport if the umbrella of uncertainty about closure is lifted. And a number of wonderful ideas have come up. which should be pursued, in my opinion. They would be economically beneficial to the city. As you and I have talked about before, 50% of the activity at the airport is involved just with training pilots. We know that there's a huge national pilot shortage, and Brainerd Airport puts out 100 pilots a year for private certificates, 25% of whom go on to the major airlines for careers. So that's a benefit in and of itself. But more than that, this is the dawn of aviation innovation with things like drone activity. And we have a drone facility, a manufacturing facility right on the property. This is the era of electric aviation, where airplanes are powered not by gasoline, but by battery power. That's new, and it will be increasing over the years. And most exciting to me is this idea of vertical takeoff and landing aircraft, which are in huge development from venture capital interests. It's the electric car, the electric private car of the Jetsons from the old comic TV series, but it's here now, and it's in its infancy. Brainerd Airport is an absolute perfect location to have the development of these electric cars that fly. And to close down parts of the airport to make it smaller just makes it that more difficult for us to develop these kind of exciting innovations in aviation. And I think with some vision, the airport could really be exploded into something that would be a wonderful economic benefit with good synergy with the environment. We aren't planning on putting large aircraft like Avalo has done in the Haven to interfere with the surrounding communities. But these new technological developments are exciting, and really to lose the opportunity by closing the airport, to me, would be an absolute tragedy.
Let's say that it does happen, that one of those two runways does get closed and shut down whenever that happens. Would that be the end? Do you think that this issue would disappear, or would there still be a push, do you think?
Well, let's be clear. There have been forces that have tried to close the airport for at least 25 years, and most of them have come from the facility to the house to the south of the airport, the MDC, which has been interested in taking over this property. Politicians have said that we should repurpose the airport to make it financially beneficial to the city of Hartford, which would be to increase the tax base. And that sounds good in theory, but when we examined all the possible opportunities, like putting up high-rise buildings or putting in a factory,
which is what this study did.
Exactly. And they concluded that there were really no good alternatives for the property in general. It's a floodplain area. It's got contaminated soil. So you can't really bring the public down there at large. And they decided that the best use for most of the property is to keep the airport as is. By taking away parts of it, using it for whatever other purposes the state legislator might come up with, and we believe it's the MDC who's interested in the property, that takes away from the ability to really grow this as an economic engine that can pursue things like electric aircraft, like drone activity, and like these exciting vertical takeoff and landing aircraft, which I think are going to be a reality within the next 4 or 5 years. We have people who are calling us that are interested in setting up shop down at Brainerd because it's a perfect property for that sort of activity. Bradley Airport can't handle this because that's not what they're designed for. Putting in a what we call a vertiport, which is a place where vertical takeoff and landing aircraft can fly out of, is perfect for Brainerd. We have a control tower that can control the airspace. And I think these are the things that should be pursued by economically minded politicians who have a vision for the future of Hartford that would be positive. And there's no question in my mind that these are really good things for this city.
What happens next, Michael?
Well, it's difficult to close an airport. It's difficult to close a runway. So this study was a recommendation. It will be forwarded now to the state legislature, who will debate it in the upcoming legislative session in January. If they decide that they should go by the study and try and close it, then the FAA has to get involved. The property has to be determined whether there is another better use for aviation. You just can't close an airport. Who pays for closing that runway? Who's going to take over the property, et cetera? So I think it's not a slam dunk that the runway will be closed just because the study came up with this, but it's just another roadblock. Our organization is really involved with spreading the word as best we can to the general community to let people know what is coming down the road in general aviation, how it can benefit the city. There's a tremendous amount of misinformation or lack of information, as you know, about general aviation, and we are really trying to spread the word and get out all we can about how important we think supporting general aviation is for the city of Hartford and the greater Hartford community.
Michael, I think it's definitely important if you guys have a website or any kind of way for people to read more. I know you have a newsletter. I don't know if that's open to the general public or not. How can people learn more about Hartford-Brainerd Airport?
Our website is www.hfd. BAA.org. Sorry, it's been a while since I've saw it. HFDBAA.org is our website, and you can get contact information. If people send us their emails, I'm happy to get out all the newsletters we can to inform people. We put out newsletters about one a month about what's going on at Brainerd, what we think about the future. And we also want people to know that the airport is not a closed operation. It is open to the public, and anybody can go down, walk into the facilities, ask questions, and really see what's going on. I give many tours to politicians down at Brainerd Airport. I'm happy to make it open to anybody who would like to come down. You could take an introductory flight to learn how to fly. This is not a hidden operation, and there's a ton of activity going on down there. So I think the more we get the word out that it's open to the public and not a closed shop, the better it is.
Michael, I really appreciate your time this afternoon coming on Spotlight Connecticut with me. I don't know if you hear the music in the background, but that means we're out of time.
Right. So thank you very much for having me, Morgan. I appreciate it.
Absolutely. And we'll have you back on the program again. We'll get an update down the line, okay?
Great. Thanks a lot.
Have a great weekend. That's Michael Tiger, everybody, of the Hartford-Brainerd Airport Association with that important airport update. The draft study finds that it might be best to shut down one of the two runways. And I had a great opportunity to tour there and check out the flight. And if you would like more information on that, what it was like to fly in a small plane, what it was like to explore a general aviation airport, go over to WTIC.com and under podcasts, look for Spotlight Connecticut. It's just a few shows down. Next week, we go to the movies with one that's closing in New Haven. I'm Morgan Cunningham. Have a great weekend, everybody.
Spotlight Connecticut with Morgan Cunningham. Embracing what's fun with Connecticut on WTIC News Talk 1080.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy. There's nothing like gaining a fresh perspective from experts who've seen it all and have the wisdom to prove it. With MasterClass, you can learn from the best to become your best. With plans starting at $10 a month, billed annually. You get unlimited access to over 200 plus classes taught by the world's best business leaders, writers, chefs, and more. With Masterclass, you get thousands of bite-sized lessons across 13 categories that can fit into even the busiest of schedules. And the classes really make a difference. 3 in 4 surveyed members feel inspired every time they watch Masterclass. And 83% of surveyed members have applied something they've learned from Masterclass to their lives. Masterclass always has great offers during the holidays, sometimes up to as much as 50% off. Head over to masterclass.com/audio for the current offer. That's up to 50% off at masterclass.com/audio. Masterclass.com/audio.
I'm caught up in the game. My attention is on every play and every whistle. But what I'm missing is a signal coming from my kidneys. That signal isn't like a ref's whistle. It's more of a silent SOS, which could be warning me of an increased risk for events like heart attack or stroke. And a way I can catch that signal? A simple urine test called UACR. If you have type 2 diabetes or high blood pressure, talk to your doctor about the UACR test. Detect the SOS. Visit detecttheSOS.com to learn more.
Your true crime podcast keeps listeners on the edge of their seats. But here's the real mystery. Why isn't it making more money? Odyssey Creator Lab is here to solve that. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on the suspense, while our sales team brings in advertisers and revenue. Stop leaving money on the table. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and turn your passion for true crime into real revenue.